I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So the day that this podcast will be released is going to be my birthday. So I will be 39 years old, which feels so wild. Like I feel so old and yet so young. Like the number feels so old, right? It's like when you're a kid and you're 10 or 12 and you hear about people in their 20s or they're like 25 or 28 or maybe even 30 and you're like, that is so old. I definitely felt that way. I don't know. Maybe I was like 8 feeling like 25 was so old. But I remember having this feeling. And then you get to that age and you're like, I don't feel like it seems old. And yet I don't feel old on the inside at all. And I feel like that's happening again. Like I'm almost 40. And I feel like for a while now, 40 was just like so old. And on the inside, I'm like, no, I'm 26. Like what's happening? So anyways, yes. So I am celebrating my birthday and also in this weird spot where I'm also recognizing like, this is not where I thought I was going to be. If I think back 10 years ago, 5 years ago, this is not where I thought I would be in life at 39 years old. Divorced for the second time. The first time, I feel like the first marriage, it wasn't even a marriage. It didn't really count. Like legally it happened. But I was in college. I saw him 3 times in 3 years. I'll do a whole podcast on it, like walking through some of the things that I learned. But one of the biggest things that I kind of regret looking back on that is I just thought I was too young. I didn't find the right person. And I didn't do any work on myself internally between the first and then the second marriage. And so now I've done a lot of work on myself. And will continue to do, but there's so much more awareness and understanding of some of these patterns that go back even before that first marriage and the first like love of my life. It's been really helpful for me to see, but also to recognize, oh yeah, like I have not spent hardly any time being single. And so I'm talking about like the power of a year, because as we come up on whether it's a birthday or the start of a new year, people can have different preferences in terms of when they like to set goals. But I like this concept of setting goals and setting an intention and a vision for where you want to be in the next year on your birthday. I feel like that's just a really fun way to look at it. And I don't have a bucket list per se. Like I'm not trying to check off like I have these 30 things to do before I turn 40, or it's no longer like that sort of thing. I am looking at, okay, how can I create more fun? What are some things that I want to do more of? But a lot of it is now it's much more streamlined and focused on, okay, here's what I would like to achieve and accomplish over the next year. Here's the work that I want to do. Here's the progress I want to make. But also now looking at, how do I want to spend my 40s? Like, how do I want to spend this next decade? And there's so much more awareness that I have now that in the last probably 2 to 3 years that I didn't have prior about patterns that I want to break and let go of. And so it's interesting too about like this being my birthday is it's also the 1 year anniversary of the divorce. Our divorce was actually signed on what was originally supposed to be my due date. And I was born late. I was 10 days late. So I was supposed to be due in August and just didn't come till September. I'm fashionably late. I don't know. But it was just interesting. That was the date that our divorce paperwork was signed. And this last year has gone by so fast. And so when I think about giving myself a year to achieve a goal, a year to do certain things, or a year to not do certain things, it feels like such a long time on one hand. And yet I also think back on this past year and I think, how the hell did a whole year go by? What just happened? It was a literal like blink and I missed it. And I didn't miss it. I was very present. I was very aware. But just looking back over like how quickly things went. And I think sometimes we can underestimate power of a year. And it can have that like really daunting long feeling. And this often comes up with clients who have anywhere from 50 to 100 pounds that they want to lose. My recommendation is always 12 to 18 months. If you have 50 pounds and you want to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week on average, that means you should give yourself 9 to 12 months. Really give yourself average the 1 pound a week, and now you're doing 50 pounds in a year. But if you're losing it in a year where it's sustainable and you're rewiring habits and patterns to where you're not going to gain the weight back, it's not going to find you again, and you are never going to have to lose this weight again so long as you live, like, that is freedom. That is 1 year of figuring it out and learning and testing and tweaking and enjoying your life while losing weight that is going to create decades worth of freedom and peace and ease with food. And I think a lot of times where we get hung up is the dread of, we think about doing a diet for an entire year. We think about the restriction and I can't go out to eat and I can't go out to the winery or I can't celebrate these things or I have to cut back or I have to cut out the things that I love, the things that I enjoy. And so it's, I can't have this fun, enjoyable, amazing life because I'm on this quote diet having to lose weight and I have to lose it slow so that it stays off. And we get into this like woe is me victim mentality instead of it being, no, you're going to live this amazing life and you're going to lose the weight and you're going to heal your emotional eating and you're going to stop binge eating and binge drinking and you're still going to go on vacation and you're still going to enjoy holidays and you're still going to travel and you're still going to like spend the weekends with your kids or your grandkids or like you're still going to have a life. And I think that's often what feels so dreadful when, and that's often why that response is so hesitant. And I have the same exact response. Last year, in I think it was the end of November, this early December after the first breakup with a boyfriend after the divorce, was processing not just the breakup, but a lot of the divorce stuff, a lot of other things in there. And so I had a friend and she had suggested, I think you, what if you took a year off from dating? And I was like, a year? Hell no, absolutely not. And it was like, or what if you gave yourself a year to find your person? It was like, take a year off from dating, don't date for a year. And then it was, and then give yourself at least a year of intentional, mindful, aligned dating where you are like going to find your person, but allowing it to take a year, allowing it to take 100 dates if that's what it required. And I remember thinking like, you've got to be kidding. Hell no, that is way too long. It was a very firm, like, absolutely not. That's way too long. And that's exactly what a lot of people will say to me too when it comes to weight loss and emotional eating is things like, no, I want to feel the way I want to feel. I don't want to live in this dreadful, horrible state. And I think part of my resistance to the not dating or to it taking longer was like the thought about how much life was going to suck if I wasn't dating or how much life sucks if I don't have a partner or somebody to share life with. And so it's really about reframing and looking at a year is such a powerful time. And I got this concept from another coach that I've worked with who she helps women, specifically Christian women who are in very confusing marriages, to make sense of it. And she says, I know it feels like a lot of time, but give yourself a year. And I promise you at the end of the year, you're going to know what you want to do. You're going to know what's acceptable, what your boundaries are, what you want in a relationship, what you want in a spouse, what standards you want to hold for yourself. And you're going to feel confident in making and taking the next steps, regardless of what they are. It was never like, I really commend her. I think she has so much encouragement for, she works with women specifically, but for just helping them to be on their own path and on their own journey. And so when it came to really trying to understand and deconstruct what was happening in my marriage, I was thinking that, okay, give it a year, give it enough time. And really it was like within a matter of a few weeks, it was a couple months and I knew, yeah, no, this can't last. This isn't going anywhere. This is not, I keep wanting to change him. It was like, I kept wanting him to be somebody that he wasn't. And he wanted me to be somebody that I wasn't at the end of the day. Like ultimately that's what was happening. And I kept wanting him to change. We could have had such a great marriage If only I could have gotten him to change. If only I could have controlled his behavior or his words, or, you know, and that's not a healthy relationship. And that's one of the things that I'm so much more aware of now going into something is like, how much am I with somebody and hoping that something about them or something that they do or something that they believe is going to change in the future? And it's like really being able to release that and let go of it, which can be so hard on one hand. But anyways, that's a bit of a tangent. But she was like, give it a year. This other coach, she was like, give it a year. And I swear it was less than 6 months. It probably was about 4 months. And I knew, okay, this is the path. This is the route that I want to take. And the divorce actually happened very quickly, much faster than I was expecting. 3 months and 3 days, start to finish. From the first conversation of like, I couldn't even say I want a divorce. I said, I don't think we should be married anymore. That's how it came out. And from that to the day the judge signed off on it, 3 months. It was very fast. And one of the things that I am now refocusing on is not just, it's okay, the legal divorce is over, but there's still the mental, emotional divorce. And there is divorcing the habits and patterns that kept me stuck and swirling and settling for things that I didn't want in my life, and underestimating myself and not encouraging and talking like in a really positive and motivating way to myself. And so now I think of it as like, all right, the divorce is over. This first year of divorce is now over, where I felt like a fish out of water in many regards. Like there were a lot of really great positive moments. And there were also a lot of times where I just felt like I was floundering. Like I was just this like fish on a dock flopping around. I don't even know how to describe it. But really now looking at, okay, what is it that I've learned? Because there's been a lot that I have learned, and in many different areas. And that's going to be some of what I talk about over these next couple of months, is going to be like grief and relationships and patterns that really stem from childhood and how they show up and how it's also impacting and ties into emotional eating and buffering. And I realized starting in December, I got back on. I was like, I broke up with a guy. And then about a week later, I was back on a dating app. And it wasn't until this spring that I realized, oh, I was buffering with a dating app. I wasn't turning to food. I wasn't emotionally eating. I wasn't emotionally drinking. But I was looking for that hit of dopamine with the dating app. And so it's now recognizing like, oh, okay, what is it that I am so resistant to feeling? What's the emotion that I keep trying to fight, that I keep trying to run from, that I keep trying to avoid? That becomes the work. And so a year is a significant amount of time. There's been so much awareness now of different habits and patterns over this last year, things that I have done, things that I have recreated, things that I didn't want to create, but yet fell back into the same old patterns. And so now it's okay. I needed to have that awareness. I need to have that experience so that I have a clearer picture and vision of here's what I want to change moving forward. And here's what I want this next year to look like. And here's ultimately where I'm going. Because again, this next year, while it might feel long, I swear you're going to blink and it's going to go by so fast. And this is where we just have to be so mindful and so compassionate and loving with ourselves and allow it to take as long as it needs to, and be so committed and so determined that we are going to figure it out. And the willingness to allow it to take longer than we think it needs to, that's where you find the success. It's not that it has to be slow. It's not that it has to take a long time, but it's the willingness that we don't have to hurry up and get there. We don't have to hurry up and lose the weight in order to feel better about ourselves. And this is always the challenge, is how do I love myself now? How do I love my body now and all the way down the scale? And especially when you have a larger amount of weight to lose. This is, and again, I'm like rambling here in this. I feel like for the rest of the year, there's probably going to be just these kind of stream of consciousness podcast episodes where I might start with an outline but I may not. And it's just going to be all these thoughts swirling around in my head of this is just what I want to share. And I do also want to make sure that I am sharing more of like my own personal breakthroughs and epiphanies and the awareness that I've gained in so many different areas. And noticing too, like how it plays into emotional eating and emotional drinking and how that is not as much of a struggle for me, but it still does come up from time to time. And one of the biggest pieces is that I catch it faster though. I catch it and then I can evaluate and understand why it happened so much faster than ever before. And now if I'm emotionally eating or overeating, it's a couple of bites, not a whole nother meal. I'm no longer binging. It has been 5 years since I've binged. I think I'm gonna do a whole separate podcast on that, but I have not binged in the last 5 years, over 5 years. That is huge for me. Like when I really stop to think about it, I'm like, holy cow. I didn't even notice it as much because I was just busy really thinking about, am I hungry? Have I had enough? How do I get better at dealing with and handling my emotions? How do I talk to myself in a way where I keep reminding myself, like, food doesn't solve your emotions. I am no longer going to eat over this. This is not going to control me in this way anymore. So it's this big tie-in around like weight loss, emotional eating or binge eating, relationships, divorce, all the things. I promise if you give yourself a year, it will likely take less than that. I've had many clients who have achieved incredible results, who have ended emotional eating, who have ended their overeating habit, who have lost the weight in anywhere from 4 to 6 months. Like it doesn't have to take a year. But when you give yourself a year to do this work and also recognize like the overeating or emotional eating might stop, but there's still the processing of emotions. There's still the handling of life and dealing with it now and not turning to a new buffer, not turning to a new coping mechanism. That might take a little bit longer and allowing that to be okay. And yeah, it was interesting how the divorce was signed on what was supposed to be my due date and how it is this rebirth. It's this new life, this fresh start, this kind of awareness and waking up to a life that I didn't love, I didn't like. I was allowing the things in my life that I didn't want. I was allowing people to treat me ways that I didn't like. And I wasn't always showing up, I would say probably even half the time, I wasn't often showing up the way that I wanted to be showing up either. And so it's really about how can we change who we are on the inside. It's really changing our self-concept. It's identifying those younger childhood wounds and those core wounds, core desires, the core cravings that we have in life, and learning how to meet them ourselves without food, without somebody else, without needing someone else to meet them for us. But how do I meet them for myself? Right. And that's a big reason why I've decided to spend the next year not dating, is because I really want to get to the point where I am happy and content and not needing somebody in order to be happy, not needing another person to make me happy or to make me feel a certain way or to need their validation or their approval or their attention. Because I have not spent hardly any time being single. Like even if I wasn't married, like I was dating someone, and maybe there was a week or a month in between like when I was like dating someone, but it was like very quickly back into the dating pool. And I can see how like now I see it so much clearer as to, okay, here are the things that I want to learn how to meet in me and myself. That way, anybody who comes along now is just bonus. But I am showing up to a relationship. I will be as a whole 100% complete person. And I'll be looking for somebody else who now is whole 100% complete. And together we can come together and create this amazing relationship and dynamic as a team. But it's not, I have to fix him or I have to meet some needs in him and he has to meet these needs in me. We're coming together 100% full, whole people to do life together. And that feels fun and exciting. And there's a lot of hope for that. And I also recognize, like, all right, like, I've got some work to do. If I want to call in and attract the type of man that I really want, I also have to show up and be the woman that he is attracted to. And there's been a lot of emotions this summer, and specifically in the last couple of weeks, and thinking that I found someone, and now it's also now surrendering and releasing. Okay, if it's not him, being open to somebody else, and maybe it is him. Maybe it's just not right now. Maybe it is that we just need a break, and there needs to be this pause. And I'm going to keep working on myself. And I don't need to go and find happiness in the arms of another man. I don't need to go and find attention or try and meet these other needs with some other person. I'm going to be happy with who I am and how I'm living my life. Period. It feels scary, but I'm also saying this out loud because I did this in the spring. I was like, oh yeah, I can take a break from dating. And then I didn't. I said this last year. I said this in December. I was like, oh yeah, I could take a break from dating. And then I didn't. Like, it's like, I've said it. It's been on my mind, but I haven't actually done it. And on one hand, I'm actually really glad that I didn't. I've learned so much. I've met really great people, and I've had such great experiences. And even if I didn't find my person yet, I'm getting so much closer. I am now seeing and experiencing what it's like to be in a relationship with somebody who really loves me for me, who encourages me in my business, who doesn't see it as a threat, someone who sees me to my highest potential and like what I can achieve and create, instead of what I felt was always trying to like dumb me down or clip my wings. And it's, yeah, anyways, it's been amazing to at least, at the very least, just get closer to that and to have that experience, to have some of those desires being met in another person, and to feel what it's like to be able to brainstorm with a partner about business things. Like, I've had friends talk about that, and I'm thinking like, man, that's amazing. That's so lucky. I want. So anyways, when it comes to weight loss, though, are you willing to give yourself more time than you think it needs? And what is the timeline that you think it should take? Like, how long do you think it should take in order to solve this, in order to change these habits, in order to lose the weight? And I get it can feel daunting, but this is a marathon. This is about steady consistency and rewiring long-standing patterns and beliefs. It's about rewiring decades worth of default thoughts, default actions, things running on habit, running on autopilot, and now starting to change that. And it's like trying to change an airplane direction 180 degrees mid-flight. Like, it's going to take a little time and a little work and a little effort. And it's not going to be super hard. The hard work is, honestly, it's the allowing of the emotions is usually the hard, quote, hard work, is allowing the negative emotions, allowing these things to come up, and allowing yourself to process through it, to not fight it, to not resist it, to allow the shame to come up, and to also decide, I'm no longer beating myself up about this. I'm going to evaluate and assess so that I can learn from it, and learning how to shift into that. And I was talking with a client about this a few weeks ago, when it can feel like it's a long ways away, when it feels like you have a lot of weight to lose, and it feels like it's just maybe you've lost some weight this year, but there's still so much more left to lose, or you're maybe not even halfway there yet. And I want you to think about a mortgage, because I had this idea of, so often we get so focused on the short term and like the long term. And so when we think about like a mortgage, most of us are thinking like, for the average house, right, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars of a loan that we are taking out. And we are now making steady, consistent payments. But I don't know anybody who looks at their statement every month and is, oh my gosh, we still have $385,000 left on this mortgage. Nobody freaks out about it. everybody is just in it for 30 years. Like, we have all, for the most part, like, just accepted this 30. And some people are at 20 or 15. Some people decide, like, they want to do a shorter mortgage. Go for it. I'm not saying that's, like, that's wrong by any means. I'm just saying, for the most part, the average is a 30-year mortgage to pay off this debt. And what do we focus on? We focus on just making the payments. We make the payments. And especially if we have a low interest rate, we're just making those payments. And maybe we'll pay a little extra here and there, but that doesn't even matter. Now, maybe if you have a little bit higher interest rate, maybe you do want to make some extra payments, but if that's all we're doing, we're just making those payments every month. We just make sure that it gets in. That's it. Like clockwork. And we are committed, but we're not looking at, like, after year one of, I still have 29 more years left on this loan, or I still have this much money I have to pay back. Like, we're not freaking out about it. We are, like, socially, we've just accepted this is okay. This is the norm. This is good. This is a benefit. This will pay off. This could be an investment. So it's, we have so many different ways of thinking about it where we've really normalized it. And, like, socially, it's very acceptable. And yet we can struggle so much with things that take a year. And again, it's all in how we think the process is going to be and how we think the journey is going to be. And one of the biggest keys then is learning to love your life, learning to enjoy your life while losing weight. We cannot lose weight in a vacuum. Every single time you do that, you gain the weight back. So we can't keep doing that, which is why it's, you have to go on vacation. You have to be able to go out to eat. You have to be able to celebrate anniversaries and birthdays. You have to be able to go on holiday and enjoy certain holidays that might revolve a lot around food or cookies or alcohol, like we're coming up into. And we have to love the process, love the journey. And anytime when we fall off, anytime it feels hard to get back on track, one of the biggest questions that I have for clients is, how much do you love your process right now? Does this feel like something that is doable? What is blocking you? And sometimes it is that maybe they were a little too extreme. Maybe they were cutting out a little too much. Maybe they, like, we need to tweak some things. And so there is the mindset work. And then there's also a little bit of the tactical work of, like, all right, let's actually look at, are you eating enough? Let's look at, what are you eating? Let's make sure that you're feeling satisfied. Make sure that you do have planned times when you can eat the food that you really enjoy and that you really love. But that's it. Like, it's the lifestyle piece, right? Like, all of us who have mortgages, we're still going on vacation. We're still taking trips. We're still traveling. We're still buying new cars. We still have auto expenses. We still have childcare costs. We still have all these other things that come up. But we're learning to love our life and have a mortgage. Like, it doesn't keep anybody from living their life. And I think that's the ideal, right, too, is you don't get into a mortgage that you can't afford. Just like you don't get into an eating plan that you can't sustain, that you can't maintain. And recognize that as you get 1% better day after day, it's going to add up. And what 1% better looks like today, what your, like, good right now looks like today, what your growth zone looks like, is going to be different than what it looks like in 3 months or 6 months. Like, it is going to be different. It is constantly going to be evolving. And that's a good thing. What can I do for the rest of my life without hating my life? That looks different today than it did 2 years ago. It's going to look different in 2 years than it does today. But that's what I stay focused on. And then if you have a lot of weight to lose, or you maybe have a long-standing binge eating, emotional eating habit, we also want to start thinking about, like, how do you think you are going to be talking to yourself, thinking about your life? How are you going to be feeling? What are going to be your predominant emotions when that habit is no longer there? When you feel 100% in control around food, when it feels easy to say no in the moment, when you are no longer binging, when you have lost the weight. And your job is to start doing that now, to start talking to yourself about that now, to start doing the things now, to start living the life that you truly crave now and not putting it off. That's why the year feels so dreadful. Because it feels like life is just going to suck for a year and nobody wants that. We can barely stand to suffer through diets for a month or two. But for a year? Oh, hell no. That is a big unsubscribe. But we want to really look at how can we use what we are going through to our advantage. And that's one of the biggest things. I wrote an email about this of like, you are still writing your story. You have the power to write the ending of your story. And it's okay if that story is still continuing, but it's really, what do you want that story to be? What do you want that ending to be? I am in the middle of a book right now. Not that I'm actually writing, but just that I'm living. I will write a book one day, but as I'm living it, I feel like I'm in the middle. I have closed a few chapters and I'm about to start some new ones. And this next year is going to be a new chapter. And I'm sure there'll be like multiple kind of things that kind of go along with it. But now I have so much more intention and focus and power and clarity around what I want that story to be. And at the very least, we can at least know, here's what I don't want it to be. And identifying what we don't want can also help us refine more of what we do want. But that's the key, is really deciding, what do you want and how to give that to yourself? Because what we truly deeply want is not just that food in the moment. It's to feel better. It's to like ourselves. It's to love our bodies. It's to feel comfortable in the clothes that we have. It's to look at photos and love love the us that's in them, to love the way we look in photos. It's to be able to look in the mirror and love our reflection. But we have to start thinking about it as this longer, longer process. And maybe it's, think about something fun that you like to do. It's like a longer dance session, right? Like, I think a marathon can also evoke, I don't know, for me, it evokes a sense of pain, of horror. I ran a marathon in St. Petersburg, Russia. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I finished it. It's like one of those bucket list things where I'm like, I'm so glad I did it. And I did it at that time in my life because I never want to do another one again, ever. Like, that is so not my cup of tea. I'm going to have to come up with a better analogy instead of the marathon versus the sprint. But it's like, how can we really enjoy it? That's what we're here for. We're not on a speedboat. We're not on a jet ski. We are on a long 30-day cruise ship. That's how we want to think about it. It's like, we're on this long cruise. We're not on the little ski boat that we water ski behind or we wakeboard behind. Maybe that's helpful. I don't know. I'll come up with some other better ones. Those need some work. But yeah, a year can go by in an instant, and just a blink. And it's really recognizing that and now looking at, okay, how do I make the most of it? How do I make this the most fun, most enjoyable way to achieve my goal, and also find ways to incorporate ease? And we have to find joy and pleasure in our life as a whole. Otherwise, we will always be turning to food and alcohol for it. So we can enjoy food, we can enjoy alcohol, but it should not be the primary source of your joy. That's what we want to work on. All right, I think I've rambled on here long enough. It's always funny because I'm always like, oh, I don't know that I have that much to say. And like over half an hour later, here we are. But coming up in the next coming weeks, I have a series about grief that I'll be putting out. And I have a lot of notes that I have been taking and just working through. So I see this being a multi-part series. We'll be talking about grief. I'll be talking about relationships. I'll be talking about money. I'll be talking about a variety of things and how it all plays into weight loss and emotional eating and binge eating, and how a lot of times when we are going through and we're working on one habit, we can't always see it as the coping mechanism changing. But this is something that I've talked about a lot, is if we don't solve the issue and solve the problem, like at the core level, we're going to keep jumping coping mechanisms. Emotional eating turns into emotional drinking, turns into emotional dating, turns into emotional spending. Like, we just keep moving from one coping mechanism to the next. and we don't want to keep doing that. We've got to learn how to break that habit, which is often getting really good at feeling our emotions and allowing them and being honest with ourselves about what we're truly thinking and feeling in the moment, about how we really feel in our careers, in our business, in our marriage, in our parenting. This is what's really important. So if you would like some help with this and you really want to work over the next 6 to 12 months, you want to feel amazing in your body. You want it to be easy to get dressed in the morning. You want to love the clothes that you have and how you feel in them. You want to be able to look at pictures and love the you that you see and the reflection that you see and not be so critical all the time. You want to learn how to lose weight in a way that feels, dare I say, fun and easy and not super restrictive. You want to feel in control around food. You want to stop the binge eating and the emotional eating. This is what I can help you do. And there are now 2 ways to do that with me, either one-on-one, privately, or in a small group setting. Either way, the best place to get started is with a free consultation. So you can schedule this call at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And this is where we'll talk through and get clear on where are you now, where is it that you want to be, and I'll show you how to bridge the gap. And I've talked with many people. I tried many programs before really figuring out what was going to work for me. And I've talked with a lot of people who have come to me where I'm usually not somebody's first choice. I'm not the first person they come to lose weight or to work on their emotional eating or their binge eating. Most of the times they've done other things. They've gone to nutritionists. They've gone to therapists. They've done other programs. They've maybe even worked with other coaches. They've done a variety, like a whole slew of other diets and other programs. And they're ready for something that is long-term, that is sustainable, that's going to work for them and their body and their lifestyle. That's what I'm going to help you do, is to find your own unique way of doing this. Because that's the key. And I'm going to help you to create a life that is so good it blows your mind. I'm going to help you to create the life and the body that you crave. That's what this is all about. It's not going to mean a damn thing to have the body if you have a life that you hate. If you don't have that life and the career and the relationship and the parenting and the, like, all of these other aspects, if you don't have the full life picture, the body isn't going to do you much good. And it's really easy to fall back into old habits and old patterns and start emotionally eating again over these other areas of your life if you don't clean that up first. I'll help you do all of that. And we start with your 1 year future vision, because there is power in a year. And it's what's fascinating to see is that many of my clients, and myself included, like, I have done this 1 year future vision and I will go on to create that vision in 6 months. It's wild what we can put our minds to and what we can achieve and what we can create. But when you give yourself that year and you allow it to take as long as it needs to, you release your timeline and your need to control the time, and you surrender that, it happens faster. It will actually speed you up. But there's power in a single year. All right, y'all. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy the weekend, and I will see y'all next time.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.